Yeah, we got to give some love to the Texas softball team. Cue up the Bee Gees, Buck. They're staying alive in OKC.
Yes, they are.
We said they needed to win four straight elimination games after dropping the Women's College World Series opener to Tennessee last week. Well, they're halfway there. 4-0 win against Mississippi State on Friday, and then a come-from-behind magical 3-1 victory. Texas five outs away from elimination. Katie Stewart, the go-ahead three-run home run in the sixth inning to give the Texas Longhorns the 3-1 lead. Tegan Kavan, sensational inside the circle in both of those games. Texas still alive. Now they've got two more they have to win to get to the championship series.
Yeah, but they just got to keep playing that good defense too. They really have done well on the diamond. They really have done, you know, obviously Tegan Kavan's going to pitch her rear end off, but boy, they back her up with some really good defense.
Yeah, I mean, they've been great. They have been great. And now they've
got to be. I don't think they've even got to the point of where they're hitting the ball that great yet.
Well, they were getting no hits. I mean, they didn't get a base runner on until the fifth inning yesterday. I mean, credit Jordy Fromm, the Nebraska ace, who also is their leadoff hitter. Fromm hit a leadoff home run.
I know. In the first
Nebraska
inning.
Was playing with a 1-0 lead. She almost single-handedly beat Texas yesterday. Texas couldn't touch her. Reese Atwood finally draws a walk to get on base, but Texas doesn't do anything with it in the fifth. And then the Longhorns didn't get a hit until there was one out in the sixth. And then the nine-hitter comes through with a single, an infield single from Nichols, and then Henry with another single, and then Katie Stewart, the SEC Player of the Year. She hadn't had a lot of opportunities because Texas hasn't been hitting all that well in Oklahoma City. She gets her first big, real moment, and, I mean, just a no-doubter 250-foot bomb to left field. Texas takes the lead. Tegan Kavan gets the final three outs. And, it's like what Texas always does against Nebraska. They beat them.
Yes.
Doesn't matter the sport. Doesn't matter the time of year. Doesn't matter the conference. When the
Longhorns beat Michigan.
Yeah, when the Longhorns and the guys who husk corn get together, things typically don't go well for the folks in Lincoln.
Nope.
And I still enjoy beating up on Nebraska. In
absolutely.
That was fun. So Texas, they play Tennessee at 11 o'clock today. They need to beat Tennessee twice before Tennessee beats Texas once. First game's at 11. If the Longhorns win, the second game is right after that.
So now who pitches in both of these games?
Tegan Kavan, of course.
Both games?
She's definitely got to pitch in the first game.
Yeah, no doubt.
If you get to that winner-take-all game, then you figure it out. I mean, you've got Citlali Gutierrez, your number two, who's ready to go. So, yeah. I mean, look, that's a problem you'd love to have is figuring out who pitches in game two. You got to win game one first against a Tennessee team that's unbeaten so far in Oklahoma City, and obviously one of their wins came against Texas. They've got two great, great pitchers who gave the Longhorns fits in that first meeting. But don't ever count out a champion. And don't question this team's heart, toughness, and resiliency. They could have folded after their first loss, and here they are, two wins away from getting back. And, Buck, it's crazy. They've played four elimination games in the last 2 weeks. Remember, they played two against Arizona State. They won them both. Now they've won their first two in Oklahoma City. Still alive. Staying alive. There you go. All right, Texas softball still in the Women's College World Series. Hopefully we're talking about them moving on to the championship series on tomorrow's show. Other big storylines from the weekend. I got to show you this picture here. This is a make-you-feel-old moment. At least it was for me. This is so Texas football held a big recruiting event called the Texas Bash over the weekend. It was a big camp where you had members of the class of 2026 and 7 and 8 and 9 and beyond all descending on campus. These events are pretty typical at Texas and around the country this time of the year. Here is a picture for those of you watching this show of a recruit standing next to his dad. Do you recognize the dad on the right?
I do not from here, no.
That would be Adrian Peterson.
That's not the one that took the whipping all the time, is it? on the left.
I do not know.
I think it must be.
That's the son who got hit with the switch.
That's the switch. That's the switch kid.
I had almost forgotten about that story. Almost. Keyword there.
Yeah. Never to forget.
That is Adrian Peterson Jr. on the left.
That's the switch kid. Yes.
Adrian Peterson Sr., a.k.a. AP, a.k.a. AD, on the right. And you've got Junior wearing a Texas Longhorn shirt. I'm sure that's the shirt they gave out to all the kids who were in town for the event. Yep. No burnt orange on Senior, just rocking the black T-shirt. But how about that? That's got to make Oklahoma fans sick to their stomach seeing that, right?
Oh, it does. It has to.
And it makes me feel really old that Adrian Peterson, like I remember him in college, obviously his entire NFL career too, the fact that he's got a kid. Now, this kid is a incoming freshman in high school, so okay. He's still a few years away. He's class of 2030, so maybe that helps with the feeling a little bit younger bit, but the fact that there's an Adrian Peterson Jr. who is already a big-time recruit that teams around the country are paying attention to, it makes you feel a little old, doesn't it?
It does make you feel old. Just a freshman?
Yeah, he's about to be a freshman at one of the Fort Bend schools in the Houston area. And Adrian Peterson, obviously an Oklahoma Sooner great. I love Adrian Peterson because, you know, when he was in high school, Palestine, he was deciding between Texas and OU, chose the Sooners. And he said the reason he picked Oklahoma was because he wanted to win a national championship.
Oh, did he ever win one there?
No. And you know who did win one while Peterson was there?
Who's that? Texas.
Yeah. Who's that? You got to get your memory checked. It'd be Texas.
Yes, sure. Of course.
So, yeah, that one's good. Yeah, Brian Arakpo Jr. on campus this weekend. Chris Whaley Jr. also on campus this weekend. So obviously some Longhorn legacies there too. And yeah, some of these great college football players from my childhood and your deep adulthood, I guess, you old hag.
Yes.
They now have kids who are in high school who are being recruited by the University of Texas.
That is too funny.
Yeah, it is.
His kid with the Texas Longhorn T-shirt on, that's great.
I know, and I figured, you know, AD was going to go with like a horns down or at least have like the biggest frown on his face ever. Good for him being a good father this time. And, you know, smile in that picture.
That kid better smile or he'll get a switch.
Well, the kid's not smiling. It's the dad who's smiling. Can you see this picture?
Yeah, I can see Adrian's head shining a little bit.
He's never never been super follically gifted in his
time. No, he has not.
No. So we are into the month of June and absolutely, a huge recruiting month for Steve Sarkisian. Buck, you always talk about this. It feels like this is where Steve Sarkisian typically makes his headway. Again, Adrian Peterson Jr., we got a ways to go before that recruitment is decided. You have to assume that Oklahoma's the leader in the clubhouse for that one, just because of where Dad went.
He's a running back also?
Adrian Peterson Jr., yes.
Okay.
And a wide receiver, I think. Ooh. I think he's kind of a gadget guy. Again, he hadn't even started his high school career, so we'll wait and see. But I think
He's been killing Pop Warner football.
Yeah, for a long time. I'm sure middle school was pretty easy for that dude. I mean, he's got offers. He already has some offers from some big time schools around the country before even going to high school. So,
wow.
Yeah, I like to bet on genes. There's some pretty good genetics in that family. And Adrian Peterson Jr., get ready. You still got 5 years before you have to watch him in a college game, but that guy's probably going to be a problem. Texas currently the number 22 recruiting class in America. As the calendar flips over to June 1st, the Longhorns have 11 players committed. I know fans might hear number 22 and not get super excited, but a long way to go. And I will say this, 11 commits, that's actually kind of ahead of schedule for Steve Sarkisian, kind of based on the way he's operated so far, right? It's clear that, you know, in the past, he's kind of waited more towards June and July to really hit the ground running and build up those numbers. The Longhorns do have a pretty nice base in terms of some quality pieces, some foundational guys here. And there's a lot of guys who, you know, Texas is in the top two, top three, top four. Official visit season started again this past weekend. You've got a few more visit weekends coming up. So there's going to be a lot happening on the recruiting trail for Texas. And I'd be very surprised if by the time we get to National Signing Day 1 in December, the Longhorns aren't once again in the top 10 classes.
Yeah, he does a hell of a job. His staff is incredible in June. They get, like I said, this is the time you get to know, you can get parents on campus. You don't have to worry about events that are going on and classes or anything else. You can really pay attention. You can pay attention to Uncle George and what Uncle George is looking for. You know, the whole works. This is a great time. He does a great job with this.
Yeah, he does. And I'm curious, like last year, Texas only, put only in air quotes, had the seventh ranked class in America. It was a bit of a step back from where they had been in the previous three cycles. Right. And you wonder now, I think part of this might depend on how good Texas is this year, but the Longhorns went way more portal heavy than they ever did to fill out this 2026 roster. And I know it's Texas. They've got a ridiculous amount of money, but it's a finite amount of money. So they went more portal heavy. I'm curious if maybe the days of the Longhorns trying to get the number one class in America like they had a couple of years ago are done. And it's like, well, we know recruiting's really important. We're going to still find guys and bring in top 10 classes. But maybe we save a little bit more ammunition, if you will, for the transfer portal.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, they've just done such a good job in the transfer portal. They're not all of a sudden going to forget about that. I know how high school recruiting is, you know, the lifeblood, but dude, you're making your way with this portal. You got to make sure that that thing doesn't all of a sudden disappear on you either.
Yeah. Well, that's, I don't think Texas has done a good enough job in the portal. Like this year they did, but I didn't think they attacked it hard enough in previous years. Some of the guys they got were great, right? Like Matthew Golden, Adonai Mitchell, they found some difference makers out of the portal for sure. But
well, that's what I mean. They got the guys that they wanted to get. They didn't make the portal their main thing. They had targeted some guys, and the ones that they've targeted, they've gotten. I think they've done the same thing again this year.
Oh, they went way harder this year than they did in the past. There's no doubt about that.
Well, definitely they had to do that, especially with the offensive line guys.
Right. And we've
been begging for that for 2 years.
Right. Well, you saw what Indiana did, right? Everyone, you want to copy the national champ, and it wasn't just Indiana. I mean, you look at the final four teams in the playoff last year, they were all pretty portal heavy. So that's kind of the flavor of the month right now in college football, but I don't know if it's just a flavor of the month kind of thing. It's like, it makes sense.
It's just that's what college football is now. It's just as important, or to some more important than their high school recruiting. Because some of them don't have great recruiting areas.
Right. And it helps when you're playing with a bunch of 21, 22, and 23-year-olds.
That it does.
Versus a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds. Again, it's like you want to have your cake and you want to eat it too. I'm not saying high school recruiting is not important. It's the lifeblood of any program. And Sark talks about that, and you hear any good coach say the same thing. But, yeah, it's like a lot of people are thinking, all right, I can get these guys who we know are good in college. You could take a 5-star out of high school. He might not be good in college. Like plenty of examples at Texas and all around the country, the history of
every year. Yes.
Yeah. Every single year of 4 and 5 stars who just don't pan out. You get a kid out of the transfer portal, it's like, well, you know, he's already really good in college football. So we kind of know what we're getting here. I think Texas, I don't think that's a one-off with the way Texas is approaching this thing. Again, I still think it's going to be a top 10 class. I think we're going to get some great news over the next few weeks, but feels like the balance has shifted a little bit with the way Steve Sarkisian and company kind of handle this thing.
Yeah, they do a great job. They really do. As I said, they've done a great job. I think they've done a great job, BK, in their high school recruiting too. It's just that they do a good job in June. That means you got to hold on just a little bit longer. You know, some teams will wait a little bit later, but they do a good job of holding on to kids. The ones that we hear about that are coming in June, generally they stay. They stay come. They don't say, no, we're changing our mind. He's done a good job with that. That's a lot of work, brother.
Yeah, well, there's a big one right now that every Texas fan has been paying attention to for a while and will continue to pay attention to. He's one of those guys that you're talking about where you've got to work really, really hard to hold the commitment and make sure you get that signature on signing day. That is Easton Royal, the 5-star wide receiver out of New Orleans. He's been committed to Texas since, I think it was last November. I think he committed right after the A&M game, if memory serves. He is from Louisiana. He took a visit to LSU this past weekend. And LSU, I mean, the reports are that they did a tremendous job and Easton Royal loved his time and this, that, and the other. So anytime you're talking about a kid from the Bayou State, you're worried about the Bayou Bengals. You've got Lane Kiffin and the job that he's done so far when it comes to, speaking of portal, just recruiting in general. You know, they got money to throw around and they're not afraid to get into an NIL bidding war if that's what this thing turns into. So that's one. Look, he's coming to visit Texas this weekend. The Longhorns, they still have the commitment. There's no decommit or anything, but that is one of the ones you're talking about where it's clutching your pearls a little bit there.
No, you don't. That goes all the way to signing day.
Yeah, probably right. He's the 8th ranked player in the nation and the number 2 wide receiver in this upcoming class. And he is the cornerstone piece for Texas so far. Highest rated player so far. Again, there aren't a lot of guys around the country who are ranked higher than him, but there's some noise because LSU thinks they knocked it out of the park, if you will, with Easton Royal. So
of course they will. And then Lane Kiffin will start his barrage of bull crap. You know that.
You know, Lane Kiffin, I got to double check this, make sure this is still accurate. Lane Kiffin has not tweeted.
What?
Since May 11th. Today is June 1st. I think somebody got to the Lane train and is like, can we cool
maybe
our
the
jets?
Maybe the commissioner of the SEC?
Maybe. Maybe it was someone at LSU. Maybe it was Greg Sankey. Maybe it was somebody else.
Maybe all of them.
It was like, dude, you're people care about you now that you're at LSU, you know?
Yeah, please be careful.
Maybe don't embarrass us, please. Because, you know, I mean, I think the last time we really publicly heard anything about Lane Kiffin was the Vanity Fair article where he basically talked about the Confederate flag. Like, I can't recruit to Ole Miss because of the ties that the state has to the Confederacy. And then obviously all the blowback from that. And then Steve Sarkisian threw him a lifeline by taking a bunch of shots at everybody else. So now, you know, that sort of dropped. But we haven't seen Lane Kiffin really tweet since then.
No, and he'll be quiet. He knows he's got that game in October or whatever that is that he's got to go back there. He wants to make sure he can get himself and his team there without any problems, which there's going to be problems. He created those problems.
Of course he did. I mean, the moment he took the LSU job – that was when the problems were created. And then obviously the way he handled things for the last couple of months of the regular season and then the things he's said about Ole Miss, it's taken it. Yeah, it's a mess. I mean, that's going to be the craziest atmosphere in the sport this year. No question. There's no playoff game. There's no traditional rivalry game that is going to be able to live up to what Oxford, Mississippi looks like in week 3 when Lane Train rolls back in.
That is going to be the monster of all monsters for the college football season, that game.
Yeah, College Game Day has already said they are going to be there.
Oh, really?
I'm worried about – I mean, thank God Lee Corso's retired. We don't – something would happen to that dude if he tried to step foot on campus.
Yeah, that – it's just – like I said, you bring that upon yourself. And it doesn't matter what part of the country it is, no matter what you think – You really bring that on yourself. There's no reason. You need to just shut your mouth on that. And I guarantee you he's been told, dude, you need to chill out here.
Right. Well, that's I wonder if that happens to Sark at Texas. I don't think it has happened yet. And obviously, Steve Sarkisian's been at this job for 5 going on 6 years, whereas Lane is the new guy in LSU. But Steve Sarkisian's been talking some too. I'm curious if we'll get more from Sark.
Basket weaving's not going to hurt anybody. Basket weaving, that's just a course.
Right.
Well, just a course that they have, you know?
The basket weaving and the Texas Tech comments, which were totally blown out of proportion, and I don't want to spend too much more time talking about that ridiculousness, total publicity stunt from the your markers out there in Lubbock. But, yeah, he's been talking some too. So it's good. Hey, they're giving us headlines. They're giving us something to talk about here in the college football offseason. Speaking of stuff to talk about, the Brendan Sorsby trial
about that deal?
Got going today out in Lubbock County. And over the weekend, and more came out about Brendan Sorsby and his gambling habits. Apparently, he placed at least 40 bets involving Indiana football while he was the quarterback for the Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh, no, I didn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
He also... Like, go ahead.
It's like believing what an addict tells you. No, I didn't have a drink. Seriously, I didn't. I've been drinking and hiding drinks for the last 3 years, but no, I truly didn't have that drink. You didn't see me with that beer.
Brendan Sorsby also used sportsbook accounts registered to family members and friends to wager. So he had his own accounts that he was betting on. He did have Fall Guys. The problem is he had himself and Fall Guys. Kind of defeats the purpose of having a Fall Guy if you're also going to put your own name out there. But yeah, apparently friends and family had accounts basically for him that were used to place approximately $90,000 worth of bets. And the, to your point that you've made from the beginning, that this guy only checked himself in because he got caught. He's only apologizing because he got caught.
Right.
He reportedly continued to gamble after transferring from Cincinnati to Texas Tech back in December.
Now, throw yourself on that sword and maybe people will feel bad that, you know, you really do have an addiction. So let's give the kid a break. No, that kid got caught. That's why. That guy would still be placing bets. He'd be doing summertime bets. He'd be having the Spurs for a couple hundred thousand units, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure. Well, hopefully he's not doing that now for his
sake. No, hopefully that's over with. Hopefully that part of his addiction is over with because he's taken some money and thrown it in the garbage can. Well, maybe not thrown it in the garbage can. He's got that money.
Maybe he won.
Yeah. Man, well, he's got Texas Tech. He's got some of their money is in one of his accounts. Yeah. Or somebody, family members holding some of that money for him.
Tex asking for it back, and he's like, don't have it.
Yeah. How about, can you give me that can you give me, $250,000 that you have? I don't have that money, sir.
Yeah. It's not that I don't want to give it to you. It's that I can't give it to you, actually.
Sorry.
Texas Tech's going to bring somebody in with a baseball bat and take it to the kneecap of Brendan Sorsby. I think that's how the movies go. So we'll see.
He didn't pay enough people at Cincinnati before he left his boys to not tell on him once he left the school there.
I know. It's so funny. Like, everyone was dunking on Texas last week for not changing their schedule that's been set for 5 years in favor of a game against Texas Tech. And it's like, Texas is the bad guy, yet Texas Tech is brazenly skirting the rules, and they're trying to get this cheater eligible to play for this season.
Right.
And again, they're trying to get people not talking about that, but thankfully more details came out about Sorsby over the weekend that brought that to the top of everyone's attention.
Well, I'll tell you this. The NCAA truly has no power if they can't win this one.
Agreed. 100%. 100%. No. And we'll spend more time, throughout the week talking about this Protect College Sports Act. I know we brought it up late last week, but Brett Yormark and Jim Phillips, Big 12 and ACC commissioners, respectively, they basically released statements saying, we like this. We want this to pass. So we'll see. I don't think it's going to pass in its current form, but there's wheels in motion, I guess, with some sweeping changes that need to be made to college sports. So hopefully that happens. All right, we'll get to that all a little bit later. In a moment, we will chop it up with legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell to get his thoughts on Texas baseball sweeping its way through the Austin Regional. A few more Spurs thoughts to get into as well. But before anything else, Buck, how about another quick round of sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, Hat Creek Burger Company is a proud place where anyone can come in hungry and leave full. That is for sure. 30 locations through the state of Texas. Great playgrounds for kids. And happy hours for the adults. You can enjoy yourself a margarita there while the kids are at the playscape. But do be careful, Dad. Do not jump around on the playscape. That's for the kids. That's not for you and Mom to dance on. So enjoy yourself there. Folks, Hat Creek Burger Company has been around since 2008 here in the Austin area. And they have unbelievable food. You don't have to hit the grill when you can go over to Hat Creek Burger for sure. Get yourself a big hat with the fries, of course, the great milkshakes that they have. And BK, I've still not gotten to your what is the one burger there that they have that I need to get to? I've not gotten there. You know, I play my golf on Tuesday. I've done big hats. I've done the fries, but I've not done there's a burger there that you said it's incredible.
Maybe you're talking about the Pitmaster Stack, the new one.
The new one that they have.
With the Terry Black's chopped brisket on top.
Of my hamburger?
Of your burger, yes, sir.
I need the protein.
That will give you some protein.
Yeah, I need to maybe try that. But, folks, I've tried just about everything at Hat Creek Burger Company. I'm going to have to try this one. I probably can do that one without the shake and the fries, right? Just do that solo with some water.
Mm-hmm. Banana pudding shake on the side.
With whipped cream.
Oh, get you some of their fried pickles or onion rings too.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
They got it all.
Love Hat Creek Burger Company.
Yeah, man. You can wash down those burgers with a nice cold Altstadt beer.
There you go.
Say I had a few Altstadt beers over the weekend would be the understatement of all understatements. Let's just go ahead and put that on the record. My choice of beer should be yours as well. So many great sports happenings going on right now here in the month of June. NBA Finals about to get started. The Stanley Cup Final about to get started. Of course, we're getting into the Super Regional round in college baseball. You still got college softball happening. You need a great sport. You need a great sport. You need a great beer to accompany all the great sports that you'll be watching over these next few weeks. Altstadt is my choice, should be yours as well. It's brewed locally in Fredericksburg, easy to find, available all over the great state of Texas. Tons of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. And oh yeah, the Altstadt Brewery was named Brewery of the Year in the state of Texas back in February. There's a lot of breweries out there. I understand that, but nobody better than Altstadt. Go to the brewery if you've never been, but more importantly, get you some of their beer if you've never had. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets. And a quick shout out as well to our friends at McCall Custom Homes. You want to upgrade your home, kitchen remodel, bathroom renovation, add some life to your outdoor space? McCall Custom Homes, they're the best at what they do. Father-son team with more than four decades of experience, and all of that experience has happened right here in Central Texas. So they know what it takes to turn a Central Texas home into something truly special. If you want to obviously start from scratch and build a home, McCall Custom Homes, they have your back. Mike McCall, great dudes, become a great friend of ours. Big Longhorn fan, big listener of the show. He and his team will take care of you. McCallCustomHomesATX.com. That's their website. Check out their site for information about free estimates to Bucky and BK listeners. And then reach out to Mike McCall directly, 512-633-9580. It's McCall Custom Homes. We build value into your home. All right. I'm so glad we get to have this conversation again, because as long as we talk to this guy, it means Texas baseball is still playing. Joining us now, legendary lifetime Longhorn and World Series champion Greg Swindell from Galveston, Texas, USA America, down on the island. Zeke?
The beach is my happy place.
There you go.
You and me both. Well, before we dive into the Longhorns, how's the start of the season for, what is it, the Sand Crabs down in Galveston?
Galveston Sand Crabs, Cowboy Collegiate League inaugural season. And, yes, the nerves are there. We start tonight. Tonight's the first game.
Oh, yeah.
I got to travel all the way to Conroe. We play the Conroe X's. I'm not sure where that came from, just a X apostrophe S.
Huh.
And their little mascot, Bucky, you ever fished with water dogs?
Oh, I have. Oh, yeah.
It looks like a water dog.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's got a little cowboy hat on and a sheriff badge. Yeah. So we know what a sand crab is. I'm not sure what their mascot. I'll find out tonight and report back hopefully next Monday when we're going to Omaha. Or maybe Tuesday, depending on when they start. But, a big day today. We're wearing the full purple gear, purple pants, purple jersey, gold belt, gold socks. I mean, it's all going to be out there tonight.
Oh, I know some will have their gold shoes on to go along with that outfit.
Man, I've been looking. Amazon, I couldn't get any there.
Oh, you want some for yourself, huh?
Yeah.
That is fantastic. The exes. You better be careful if you're going up against a bunch of ex-wives and ex-girlfriends, Zeke. That's a dangerous bunch that you could be seeing tonight.
BK, you don't know me that well. I have a few of those myself.
hopefully not showing up to this one. Well, Zeke, Texas baseball, I mean, two blowouts and then a close game in the regional final yesterday, but the Longhorns sweep their way through the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. I'll give you the floor, I guess, wherever you want to take this thing. After the disappointment in the SEC tournament, the Longhorns bounce back. They leave no doubt. They dominated this weekend. Your thoughts on what you saw from Texas?
Yeah, I just think we talked last week about maybe being flat. Maybe, you know, not they didn't care about the SEC tournament. Well, obviously they didn't care about the SEC tournament, and Slosh got on their butt. They worked out hard. We talked about the pitching was going to dominate. It definitely did that the first couple games, and then yesterday just gave up a few. No problem. They got the win. But the big story is the bats on the weekend. I mean, they showed up. You knew it would happen probably against Holy Cross. Poor guys, when teams like that come down, it just wore them down. It just wore them down all weekend. And Tarleton State was kind of a shocker that Texas was able to handle them that good. Valantis was outstanding. I mean, all the pitching was good, but I can't harp enough on the way that the hitters went about it. And yesterday, especially, I mean, they were down, took the lead, went down again, and then came back at the end. And, you know, I know I get on Luke Harrison every once in a while, but he nutted up yesterday and came in and got that big out with the bases loaded. I mean, funny thing when Sloss said, luckily that A-Rod found that ball in the sky, because Pack did not see where it was. Wouldn't that have been something, another game of a ball lost in the twilight? It happened at Stanford a couple years ago. Yep. But that ended their season. This wouldn't have. It would have played again today. But a good series. I talked about the crowd on Friday afternoon last week and saying, I just don't think it's going to be that good. Well, Texas fans proved me wrong again. I mean, they're good. They came out. They showed up. And, wow, what a weekend it's going to be coming up. Got a super regional. But they didn't make it this far last year. And this team, you could just see this team this weekend. I mean, they have a whole new second base thing and dugout thing. So Aiden Robbins even got a haircut. So a lot of different things going on in that Texas locker room. So it was a good thing, a great weekend. And they got to buckle down because Oregon's coming to town and those Ducks, they quack pretty loud.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Greg. You know, when you said those poor kids from Holy Cross coming from Worcester, Mass, you know, they probably have two sets of uniforms. Dude, they had their winter gear on. They had their pants on. I'm like, those aren't, that's not warm weather gear. They're used to it being 45, 50 degrees where they're playing. So they look like the old Yankees uniforms with the thickness where it was going to be a cold day. I'm like, they wore those all weekend long. I'm like, oh my God, it's got to be hot inside of that stuff.
They almost look like the old wool uniform.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. I swear. I looked at them, I'm like, that's warm weather gear they got on there.
There's been teams come down from Ohio and like that, and it is by the mid-game on the second day where they played at noon both days. I mean, they're sunburnt. They're just spent. Their feet are hot from the turf. I mean, there's a lot. And you can only go in that locker room for so long and cool off.
You're right.
When you're the visitors. So it's, but a great weekend. Holy Cross ended up, well, they scored in both their games. So, the Yoda guy, the pitcher, he gave it all he had. I counted back over almost 300 pitches from last week to this week. And man, hats off to him. But Texas played well all the way around. And Super Regional next week. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it was cool to see Texas fans, you know, give Wywoda that standing ovation after he got taken out of the game on Friday. Like, that guy worked his tail off all season long for them, and I thought that was a cool moment. Also, Bucky doing his best George Costanza, trying to get the uniforms changed from polyester to cotton, right? We got to have the cotton uniforms for the Yankees.
That polyester starts to stick to your to the meat of your legs. So
Texas now uses those Nike uniforms that are, like, dry, what, a comfort wicking or sweat?
Oh, yeah, dry fit, moisture.
It just dries off as soon as it hits the shirt. So they were good. You can see it in the grays a little bit. That it was a little hot, but they're still lightweight, and they're red. They know how to Nike takes care of the kids, and I think they're big league uniforms now because Nike does the big league uniforms.
Yes, sir. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here on Bucky and BK. Zeke, you know I trust your pitching mind against anybody in the world. Ruger Riojas, right? I don't think, was really sure what we were going to get out of Ruger. It had been a while since he had really pitched in a game. Obviously, they held him out of Hoover, and he threw five pitches against Missouri. So you got to go back a ways before he had a traditional true start. Gave up a homer in the first inning, but then really settled in. I thought the velocity looked good. I mean, I thought the stuff looked like normal Ruger Riojas. Your big takeaways from him, and do you feel like he can be a super valuable part of this rotation the rest of the way?
It's going to have to be. You're hoping you go two and out and win both the games in the Super Region. Then you don't have to use him unless you want to use him in relief. But we still don't know what was wrong with him. I guess something pretty bad, because not throwing that long. To just give up one after only pitching that little bit for a couple weeks was good. And he got into a rhythm after the first inning. And, you know, if he doesn't do his job, it could have been a long day for Texas, especially the way the bullpen kind of came in and made things interesting in the game yesterday. But he did. He's Ruger. He could be his possible last start next week. And he's the type of guy that's just going to go out there and give you everything he can for as long as he can. But in a great world, they'll Valanthus or whoever starts game one will win it, and Luke Harrison will win the second one, and we won't need Ruger Riojas next week. That's the ideal world. I feel good about Ruger. I feel good about him out there. Just hope he's 100% healthy, and it kind of looked like he was yesterday.
Yeah, it kind of gets you back on your regular schedule again a little bit with the pitching, which helps a lot, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because I think when the regional ended yesterday, they'll probably get Friday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. A lot of regionals ending today will go Saturday through Monday. So Valanthus' pitch count was down. Obviously, Luke's was down. They had the big lead, got him out, and only threw two pitches yesterday. So they're both – They'll both be 100%. And for Luke, I mean, he's pitching like it could be his last game. I mean, he's getting the fans going. He's got the strut going. I like it. I mean, I like the attitude of the team right now. You look around the country, some of these teams are getting a little flippant. Just Texas, after the game, they shook hands, hit each other on the backside, and congratulated each other. And You proved your point. You won three. Act like you've been there. And Texas always have been there more than anyone. So hopefully two more games and we talk about Omaha.
That's a great point. Yeah, a lot of ejections from the weekend for guys misbehaving, if you will, during these regional games. And, yeah, Texas definitely acting like they have been there. Zeke, I'm going to ask you a stupid question. I know your answer, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Sam Cozart yesterday, his worst outing of the season. Texas brought him in for a six-out save. I felt very confident that he was going to get the job done and he was going to be the last pitcher that the Longhorns trotted out against Santa Barbara. Got into a jam in the eighth, was able to wiggle out of it. Got into a jam in the ninth, not so much. You mentioned Luke Harrison obviously coming in to get that final out. Any concern, any reservation because it was Sam Cozart's first postseason appearance, or is that just a blip on the radar for you?
No, I think all year we've felt like he's a fifth year senior. He hasn't pitched much in a long time.
Right. Yeah.
So again, you're not pitching for a while. You just a little bit, and now you're put out there and to get the last six outs to send your team to a super regional, and he's only 18. So I know people are going to talk about that, but he's pitched a lot this year. But that's the biggest stage he's been on so far in his life, I believe, on the mound. Pitching to send your team to a super regional. So it could have been nerves. It is, because we've seen the stuff that he has all season, able to get out of the eighth. And then, you give up five hits, give up one run, but I'm not worried one bit. I think this will help him next weekend against Oregon. And it'll be a different Zach Cozart out there, because he's proven it to us all year. And I don't see Sloss flying away from it one bit. He's going to be good. Now we got to get the guys in front of him. Burns looked good. Copeland?
Crossland.
Get these guys mixed up. They're so tall. Crossland and LaFue. Those are going to be your keys to next weekend, because you got to bridge something in there. You can't rely on just Burns and Cozart. You need more pitching. So maybe they've got that out of their system, and now go on to next weekend.
Absolutely.
Sure. All right, last question, Zeke, before we let you go. Aiden Robbins, I mean, I know you brought up the bats in your first response, but just that bat in particular. Now, the guy is his first taste of postseason baseball of his career. It's 4 home runs, Austin Regional MVP. He's got 22 on the season. He never had 6 in a year, or I should say more than 6 in a year, before coming to Texas. Sometimes you strike gold out of the portal, and to say Texas did that with this kid might be the understatement of all understatements.
Yeah, they got one striking gold and one stealing the gold dome from Tenney. Yeah. I mean, these guys, Robbins, though, he kind of slumped, got sick towards the end of the season, and really didn't look good at the plate. And for him to come out, I mean, he's as Texas offense goes, is the way he goes. So, obviously, I mean, got opposite field power. He can pull the ball out of the ballpark. What about that catch in right field? One of the best ever. I mean, in this, a regional place. So, yeah, I love that. He's hitting Pac-Man. Wow, this little guy. He packs some punch in the lineup. I mean, everybody. But as Robbins goes, Texas goes, and hopefully he can keep it up. I'm glad to see him get the haircut. It was getting a little too long for my standards. But I'm kind of the hair police out there. So.
There you go.
Someone's got to do it. It's a thankless job, but someone's got to do it.
You got to do it.
That's great. Well, Zeke, thanks so much for the time. Best of luck tonight. We're excited to hear updates about the Sand Crabs. And we'll hopefully talk to you next week discussing another trip to the College World Series for the Longhorns.
I hope so. And if you don't hear from me, it was bad news for the Sand Crabs.
Uh-oh.
I'm walking back to Galveston from
college. Oh, boy.
Don't walk into the water and not come out, all right? Stay on shore. Stay on land. Zeke, always appreciate it, man. Good luck.
Dane from Forrest Gump.
Thank you, Greg.
That's awesome. All right, man. Talk soon. Thank you.
All right. You.
There he goes. Greg Swindell, the legendary lifetime Longhorn, the 2001 World Series champion, and pitching coach of the world-famous Galveston Sand Crabs. I'll be tuned in.
Playing the exes, huh?
Playing the ex-wives. You got one of those on the team, don't you?
I do. I got one. I'm Team X.
If there's ex-girlfriends on the team, I got a couple of those who are getting ready.
There you go.
Let me tell you things. The Sand Crabs might be in some trouble tonight if that's the roster they're throwing
Absolutely.
Out there on the other side.
And they've got baseball bats in their hands. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, you know Elon's out there then.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Tiger's ex. You know she's going to be probably the leadoff bat for that team. Crazy. Good stuff there. Great weekend for Texas baseball. The Longhorns moving on to the Supers for the first time in 3 years. And, yeah, I mean, Ruger Riojas getting him right, obviously huge. I agree with Zeke about Sam Cozart. Look, tough one, tough performance, but it had been a while since he had pitched. He's been so good all year. I think that was the anomaly. I think he'll be just fine. And I still
getting close to your schedule helps out too.
I think
even
so.
This time of the year, you know.
Yeah. Like it's like you don't complain about what beating teams 35-3, which was the combined score of Friday and Saturday. But you know, Texas didn't use their high leverage guys out of the bullpen, and there weren't a lot of stressful situations in the first two games. So it had been a while since they had played in a game like that. And really go back to the Tennessee series, which was the second to last series of the regular season. It had been a bit for some of those guys. And I don't want to say growing pains, but just getting back into the thick of things, back into the swing of things, the routine, like you talked about, I think that happened. And look, I think it'll be 2-3 close games this coming weekend against Oregon. It's a really good team. There's not going to be any 19-1 or 16-2. Maybe I'm wrong. Love to be wrong as long as Texas is on the winning side of that ledger. But you're going to need those bullpen guys to give you a little less stress than what they gave you against the Gauchos.
Oh, for sure.
The Gauchos. I love that.
Now, if you can get Borba hitting, that would help.
Yeah, you can get Borba on too. But, yeah, Ashton Larson was very good. Ethan Mendoza, some big hits. Pendergrass made some things happen, both at the plate and in the field. Texas got a lot of contributions from a lot of different players over the weekend. And I do like what Evan said earlier in the show. Like, Borba did have a single. and scored on the Robbins go-ahead homer in the seventh yesterday. And then his last at-bat, can't remember if it was the eighth or the ninth. Texas was the visiting team yesterday.
The walk.
Game. The walk. And it was a bad start to the at-bat because the two strikes, it was a full count walk, and the two strikes were like two bad chases. Breaking balls out of the zone. It's like he's clearly not seeing the ball right now. And I'm thinking, well, just throw him anything in the dirt. It can be way up high. Yeah. He's going to chase it. And to his credit, like that's exactly what Santa Barbara did. They tried to get him to extend the zone. And towards the end of the at-bat, he was able to lay off some good breaking balls that missed. So hopefully that can carry over into next weekend. Because, again, the Ducks, they quack. They quack loud. And they're good. So it'll be a good test.
Yeah, that's good baseball team. This will be fun.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. So I think it'll be Friday to Sunday, but we'll find out the official times later today. You've got a bunch of game sevens across the country, including the Aggies and the Sooners, Buck. Both teams trying to punch their ticket to the Supers.
Who do the Aggies have today that they're playing?
USC.
USC escaped, didn't they?
USC killed the Aggies yesterday. USC lost to Texas State in their first game in the 2-3, so they had to go through the loser's bracket. So they played A&M for the first time last night. They smoked them. And now it's a winner-take-all game in College Station. See if the bubbles are out. Well, you know they'll be out, but we'll see if
they'll be out,
if they're out of the tournament after today. And then Oklahoma playing Georgia Tech, the number 2 national seed. The Sooners beating the Yellow Jackets yesterday. They were down 8-2 and came back to win 15-8. So you've got a game 7 in Atlanta. We could have, sorry to bring this up to Texas fans, last year the number 1 and number 2 national seeds both lost in the regional. The Longhorns, one of those two. Georgia Tech goes down today. We'll have that again with UCLA and the Ramblin' Wreck potentially out. So Georgia Tech, that game's at home in Atlanta. They're favored. The winner will get my Kansas Jayhawks, sir, into the Supers for the first time ever. Congrats to Rock Chalk beating up on Arkansas. I think every Texas fan's happy with that result.
For sure. And,
so it's a good day. Good day for college softball. Good day for college baseball. Sit on the couch, watch some sports.
Where did Kansas, BK, did Kansas go through the losing bracket, the loser's bracket?
No, they swept.
They swept the weekend?
They went 3-0, and they beat Arkansas twice. That was like, a lot of people thought that was the hardest regional on paper.
Yeah, I was thinking Arkansas was going to be,
I did too. Like, I thought Arkansas was going to win it too. And Kansas beat Arkansas twice. They beat the 4-seed Northeastern, and then they beat the Hogs 2 times in 2 days. So, boo pig suey over there. Way to go, Jayhawks.
Absolutely. All right.
We'll take your thoughts. We will get to the BBK news in a moment. Crazy story out of Galveston. I should have showed this to Zeke. That's on me. I might send this to him after the show. Crazy story out of Galveston involving a roller coaster. It's our second coaster story.
No.
Oh, yeah. And some other fun stories to get to in a moment. But before we get to our final segment, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
How about our friend Matt King? How's he doing these days on therideproject.com?
Still riding.
Still going?
Still going.
Yeah, he's still taking your donations, folks, at therideproject.com. Keep it up because he's giving money away. We already know that he's giving a bunch of his money away or your money away to folks along the way. A 2,000-mile ride or a bike ride from, of course, from Texas all the way to Canada. He's going to Canada through Texas.
He started day 6 today. He is currently in Oklahoma. So he's made
the weather has been, you're talking about some crazy weather too, man.
Yeah, he's been dealing with some of the craziness we've had in the Lone Star State, but he has made it through Texas, north of the Red River. Be careful, Matt. Be careful up there. There's some weirdos.
Absolutely. And they'll take your bike. Hey, they'll steal your bike.
They'll take your bike and they'll take your teeth and they'll take everything else that you have.
Oh, my goodness.
Take no chances with those folks.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing some great stuff, folks. He's giving all that money back, raising $1 million and giving it directly to communities who need it the most. He's doing just that every place he goes, and he doesn't want to stop. So we don't need to stop either. So go to therideproject.com and continue to give to Matt King and his incredible journey across this country.
Yeah, how about this? And Matt's already made some of his donations, and he gave $50,000 to a disabled veteran to help pay off his home loan yesterday. So there's a guy who lost his wife in 2019, disabled military vet, and needed some help paying off his mobile home loan. And Matt King, thanks to y'all's donations, was able to step up and help him pay it off. So that's the kind of where that's just one story. He's going to be helping all sorts of folks all over the country. If you like helping people, therideproject.com. Sometimes you don't know, like, who do I donate to? How can I help? I want to help, but what do I do? Therideproject.com, making a difference all over the U.S. of A. Shout out to Matt King. Also, shout out to Qualis Roofing and Construction. These guys are making a difference on roofs all across Central Texas and in the DFW Metroplex as well. The best roofers there are. Look, we've had a lot of storms here lately, and you might just go out in your front yard. You've got your dad pose, hands on the hips, looking up. I think the roof's fine. Looks good. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. Call in the experts at Qualis to make sure that your roof is good.
Look, get that drone up there. Get that drone up there.
They got drones. I mean, they'll get up there on a ladder, but they got drones to take pictures of everything. You don't have a drone that does that. Qualis does.
Standing with your hands on your hips, looking up, saying, it looks good from here.
Classic dad pose. Yeah, roof looks fine. Ridiculous. No, you don't know. Qualis will come out to your place for free. That's the beauty. Some companies charge you like $100 to come out. No, they'll come out to your place for free. If nothing's wrong, they'll tell you nothing's wrong. If something's wrong, they'll help you file an insurance claim. It's not like, oh, you got to pay us. No, we're going to try to get the money from the insurance companies that you pay already. We get our money either way, so we'll help you with the claim. And look, minor fixes now could save a major fix down the road, which means saving you a lot of money down the line. Qualis is the best. Tons of five-star reviews online. We trust them. You should too. QualisGC.com, 512-257-0033. That's the phone number to call for our great friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction.
Love it.
All right. The BBK news, as we wrap up a Monday program. A couple of weeks ago, we had a story out of Six Flags over Texas where there was a power outage during the day while the park was open, and a bunch of park goers had to get rescued off of the Texas Titan, one of the biggest roller coasters in the world. They had to like walk down the stairs to get from hundreds of feet up in the air to the ground at Six Flags. That was a crazy story. We now go to the Pleasure Pier in Galveston. No, that is not an innuendo, kids. That is a real place. I'm sure there's been some pleasures going on there at some point over the years. But the Pleasure Pier, a place where my little sister used to work for a summer job in high school, a place that I've been to multiple times in my life, they had a moment over the weekend that was not very good. Emergency crews had to rescue 8 students who were stuck on a roller coaster for hours.
Hours.
Show you the news clip, because not all coasters are the same. Like, you can be stuck on one ride. It's not that big of a deal. It's fine. This might be the worst roller coaster in the world to be stuck on. Here's a little news clip from the ABC affiliate down in Houston.
Everybody okay? And then make sure that they are calm with the situation. There she is. That you just saw her feet come out of the car. 2 rescuers brought her out and carried her down onto the firefighter basket that's up here on ladder number 1. And as you can see, she is out, and explained to them that it's going to be a while before we get you down, but we're going to get you down safely. Just bear with us and follow our instructions.
Yeah, here's the still shot of these 8 students. It was like a school field trip. And they are there on a Saturday just trying to have a good time at the amusement park. And they are, for those of you not watching, they're way up in the air. And they're leaned back. They're all the way tilted back at a 90-degree angle. So they're staring up at God in the sky. And they are just suspended there for hours, Buck.
I would probably have some wet jeans by then.
Oh, is that a pleasure pier joke?
No.
Oh. It's like, these are kids, man. That's gross. What do you think they're doing up there?
I would be urinating in myself.
It might be wet jeans from urine and from tears.
Yeah, for that's, sure. I definitely have tears. I would definitely be crying up there.
This picture, so the pleasure pier, for those who don't know, it's like it extends from the seawall in Galveston, like way out over the water, right? So the picture that we're showing right now, that's the Gulf right behind them. So that, like, you're by the ocean, basically. You're suspended 100 feet in thin air, leaning all the way back at a 90-degree angle. These are freaking kids.
Looking back at the ocean?
Yeah. You look up, it's the sky. You look down, it's the ground. You look left or right, it's the sea.
My God.
Galveston Fire Department was called at 5:37 p.m. on Saturday. Eight riders stuck in the Iron Shark roller coaster. It was a Houston ISD field trip. All eight of the riders here were students, and there's a 100-foot vertical lift that is a part of this ride, and they had to make an emergency rescue. Thankfully, everybody's safe. All the kids got down just fine, but an emergency rescue of these eight students. Shout out to first responders in Galveston. My goodness, Buck.
No, that's not like the old-fashioned roller coaster. That's one you kind of sit in beside somebody, like four across.
Yeah, there's two rows of four, so that comprises your eight people. And it's just one of those vertical things where you go straight up and straight down and straight up and straight down. This one went straight up and, well, it didn't come down.
Man.
Yeah, that's...
Needless to say, never to ride another one, some of those kids probably.
I think... The pleasure pier might be getting a couple of lawsuits from the parents of those Houston area students.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter to me. I'm not a thrill seeker, so I don't get on those things. That doesn't do anything for me anyway.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, one by one, each rider was placed in a safety harness and guided into a truck basket, which then lowered them to the ground. The riders were shaken up. Apparently, you know, they were said to have felt a sense of joy once their feet hit the ground. Yeah, I'll say, I mean, you probably think you're dying up there. I mean, if it's 2 minutes, you're thinking like, oh, this is it.
Yeah, this is it. I already thought that when I bought the ticket. I'm the guy in line with the ticket going, this is not going to work well. I'm the one in the, oh, this will, you're a one in a million chance of this happening to you. Well, guess what? Number 1 million just came up, just got in line for a ticket here.
That's a very positive way of thinking there, sir. I love it.
Yeah, no, that's just the way I think when it comes to stuff like that.
According to the Pleasure Pier website, the Iron Shark roller coaster reaches speeds of up to 52 miles per hour and travels along a 1,246-foot track. The steel roller coaster also features a 100-foot vertical drop. So, yeah, 1,000-plus feet up. I think I said 100. The drop is 100, I guess. I don't know how it works, but... point is, these kids were suspended in thin air for a long time. Thankfully, everybody is.
Gosh.
Okay.
And, what's your conversation going to be with the person next to you? We're going to die. Hey, guess what? We're about to die. We're going to die.
There's a bunch of high schoolers. They're probably making 6-7 jokes entire time.
Of course.
Yeah, they're checking.
And you know somebody's got their cell phones up there.
I was going to say, I wonder, like, I'm surprised we didn't see any viral TikToks or posts from them. Maybe they didn't have their phones with them up there. You know, it was a school field trip. Were they not allowed to bring their phones? Or maybe the rules of the ride, you can't have your phone. Maybe the kids are like, dude, I don't care if I die. If I take my phone out, it's going to fall and break. I can't have that happen.
No, I'm just as well. I'd rather fall out of this than my phone.
Oh, God. Wild story. Thank you.
No, that's horrible. That's horrifying, BK.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my nightmare. I mean, that's, I think, a lot of people's nightmares right there. Holy cow. All right, real quick, why today's not so bad before we get out of here. Texas softball is about to start, so we'll let the people go. In 1999, Buck, big day for you. In 1999, June 1st officially became the start of Pride Month. President Bill Clinton issued the first presidential proclamation declaring June as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. In 2009, President Barack Obama officially expanded the name to Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month.
Is that where we get all the different letters from?
From President Obama?
Yeah, the LBGQ, orange, red, rainbow, coalition deal.
Are those letters orange, red, and rainbow?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if it came from that, but this is the month where we celebrate that, Buck. Happy Pride.
Oh, yes. I got caught up in the parade once, yes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was not on the float, as some would say. I was trying to cross the street in between floats.
In the Pride Parade?
Yeah, just got whisked away.
Here in Austin?
Yes.
Well, what were you doing down there?
I was visiting downtown, and I had to cross the street, and I crossed in the float. And somebody said, I saw you up on the float. I said, no, I wasn't on the float. I was crossing the street.
You couldn't say you were supporting?
I had to say, no,
I wasn't a part of that. No, I could never be a part of that.
I was not saying that either. I just saying I was crossing the street.
Oh, that's great.
Why did the Bucky cross the street?
Happy Pride. Happy 89th birthday to the legendary Morgan Freeman.
89, huh?
Greatest still voice kicking. In human history, I think.
Still kicking, too.
Still kicking it. Alanis Morissette, 52. Pat Boone. You got a guess on how old Pat Boone is?
97.
92. Amy Schumer, 45. Hilarious. Not really. Born on this day, now dead. Norma Jean Mortensen.
Marilyn Monroe.
Nicely done. Marilyn Monroe.
One of my favorites.
Andy Griffith, born on this day, now dead.
And Mayberry, USA. Mayberry, North Carolina.
There you go. Brigham Young, born on this day, now dead. All right. We'll let y'all go. Go watch some Texas softball.
Absolutely.
Right now. Great show, my friend. Thanks to Evan Veith. Thanks to Greg Swindell for joining us. Most importantly, thanks to you people for spending some of your Monday with us. We will be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Hook 'em, y'all.
Y'all have a good one. Hook 'em.